It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
I'm glad you're here. It's the final weekend for the two biggest sportsman shows in the nation. The Great America Outdoor Show continues through this Sunday at the Pennsylvania Farm Complex at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, expected once again to draw close to 200,000 attendees. And on the West Coast, there's the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show. This one's taking place at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon, also through Sunday. Hundreds of exhibitors there, and I'm one of them. I hope you will drop by our booth, chat, and sign up for a chance to win a camp stove from Camp Chef we're giving away, along with a $100 gift certificate from Max Lures. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we'll tell you about some specialty shows coming up around the nation in the days ahead, to include the Fly Fishing Show, making stops in Pennsylvania, California, and Washington State. Ben Firmisky, the CEO of this traveling show, will tell you more about this can't-miss event for fly anglers. As you may recall, last week we spoke with an impressive young lady who is a fully registered big game hunting guide and bush pilot in Alaska named Tia Shoemaker. This week, we'll talk to another woman who is very competent in the wilderness. Her name is Chris Frank. She owns her own outfitting service called Mountain Spirit Outfitters, and she'll tell you about the moose, goat, and bear hunts she offers in the western Canadian provinces of Alberta and British Columbia. As good as the hunting is in Canada, there are plenty of places in the lower 48 to bag a trophy big game animal too. And one place you can do so is the great state of Wyoming. That's where Seth and Alden Ballard with Elk Fork Outfitters offer hunting trips, in many cases on horseback, into the backcountry for elk, deer, and antelope. Oh, and don't forget to buy a wolf tag either if you go hunting with them, because that is an add-on option on many of their hunts. In addition to the hunting they offer, they also offer summer pack trips, which sound great. Think about it. You ride into the backcountry, set up camp, and then spend your days catching rainbow, cutthroat, and brook trout from streams and rivers. Or, if you prefer, they are also offering a unique summer pack trip where you can learn how to be a fabulous backcountry cook, whipping out delicious meals over a fire or in a Dutch oven, no electricity required. In addition to this, we are going to tell you about an innovative pack that you are going to love, especially if you are a hunter, an angler, or a photographer who is sick and tired of having to take that pack off, dig through it, get out what you want, use it for a second, put it back, put that pack on, and get back on the trail. This pack solves all of those problems. It's called the Paxis Packs, and we'll tell you about it towards the end of this program. But first, getting back to sportsman shows and specialty shows, let's talk fly fishing. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, if you are a fly angler, you really need to attend the Fly Fishing Show. It's a traveling show. So far this year, it's been to Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Georgia, and the next stops are going to be in Linwood, Washington, Pleasanton, California, and Lancaster, PA. With us here to tell you more about the Fly Fishing Show is the president and CEO, Ben Firmisky. Ben, great to have you on the air.
Thanks a lot.
So, Ben, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the Fly Fishing Show? When they walk into one of these exhibit halls or convention centers, what are they going to find there?
Well, the Fly Fishing Show is the world's largest consumer fly fishing show. So we're open to the public. But when you walk in, you're going to see a variety of booths, most conventions. And within that show, it's 100% fly fishing catch and release themed. So if you're a fly fisherman or even just any fisherman, you're going to find a variety of fishing displays, from trinkets to travel and everything in between. So you get to see the latest product that's out, get to talk to the experts, get to meet authors. But we also have continuous fly tying demonstrations, seminars going on all day long, So you can see presentations by the experts, by destination travel experts, all sorts of things like that. So even in a full weekend, you can't really take in the whole show because every day is different and there's always something that you might want to see where there's a conflict, so you can't really even get it all on a weekend. There's enough to see.
Let's talk about the experts, because you've got some really big name ones like Gary Borger, but you have some other ones too. So is this just national experts that travel around the country, or do you have a mix at these shows of both national and regional experts, depending on where you're at?
That's a question for the whole show. And there's both exhibitors and experts that are both national or international level, like you mentioned, Gary Borger. But then at every show, we also have exhibitors that are regional, as well as pros that are maybe a local pro on the local most popular river or region. So a little bit of both.
Now, I would imagine the seminars they give are huge attractions, but your other most popular attractions, are they the demos, the casting demos? Are they, you know, the fly tying theater? Where are people going? Are they just going to all of these places plus the exhibitors' booths?
Oh, all of them. It really depends on what you're looking to get out of it. And we try to provide something for everybody from a beginner to an expert. There's always something to find. I work personally very hard to make sure that we have something for every skill level angler and of every interest. There's saltwater stuff. There's warm water stuff. There's cold water fisheries and everything in between. So whatever your interest, there's something to see. And whatever your skill level, there's something to see. You know, the casting is very popular. Fly tying is very popular. Just attending some of the seminars, I had a friend attend our Denver show for the first time. He's been fly fishing for a number of years. And he came up and said, if you just saw two or three seminars, it's well worth your ticket price. So, you know, you can find plenty of deals and look at new product as far as shopping and talking with the experts to learn about the product better. But the education factor is huge.
I've got a question for you, Ben, and that has to do with the sport of fly fishing itself. And this question actually comes to you via our programming director at KPNW 1120 out of Eugene. We get to talk to him every week. And he was wondering if the demographic of fly anglers is aging out. In other words, you know, is it just a bunch of older baby boomers who were inspired by the movie A River Runs Through It? Or is the sport of fly fishing attracting a good set of young anglers into the sport?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think the perception is that it's an aging demographic, but it's actually growing, and there are a lot of younger people getting involved in it. It's a good outdoor alternative. I actually come from an extreme sports background. I was a professional big mountain skier, and I get just as much adrenaline out of fly fishing. So it still attracts, kind of the X generation and people looking to have a little more of an adrenaline fix. But you can also enjoy it more leisurely and at whatever pace you feel like doing for your life. So, you know, I can't even ski today the way I could 5 years ago, but I can fly fish just the same. You know, of course, the level of adventure you might take as you age could decrease depending on your physical fitness and other things, but you can enjoy it just the same. And that's one of the beautiful things about the sport, is it's something that you can do all day long, all your life, and, you know, you can never really master it. So there's still that challenge to perfect different parts of your game to do better or just try new things.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that question, and I agree. I actually have a lot of friends and a lot of people that I follow who are definitely a generation younger than me that are all about fly fishing. So this is good news for the sport. We are running out of time, but let's run through the dates and locations for the remaining appearances for the fly fishing show.
Yeah, we go to the Linwood area in Washington for February 16th and 17th. Pleasanton, California is February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, And then we wrap up our seven-city tour in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, March 9th and 10th.
All right, folks, again, that's Lynnwood, Washington, the 16th and 17th, Pleasanton, California, at the Alameda County Fairgrounds, February 22nd through the 24th, and in Lancaster, PA, go to the Lancaster County Convention Center, March 9th and 10th. Find out more at flyfishingshow.com. That's flyfishingshow.com. If you're into fly fishing, this is a show you won't want to miss. Ben, thanks for telling us about this today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to ensure North America's outdoor heritage of hunting and fishing through education and work on behalf of public lands and waters. Lend your voice to the fight today by visiting backcountryhunters.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
NorthwestFishingReports.com is the Northwest's largest fishing reports website, featuring well over 50,000 fishing reports, videos, articles, and more. All 100% free. Catch more fish with Northwest Fishing Reports. Log on today.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Last week, we told you about a competent, female, fully registered guide out of Alaska. This week, we're going to tell you about a competent, female, fully registered guide out of Canada. Her name is Chris Frank. She is a guide. She's an outfitter. She operates in British Columbia and Alberta. She will take you hunting for big game, and her business is Mountain Spirit Outfitters Incorporated. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start off with exactly what you offer, a brief overview of what you're hunting in Western Canada.
I offer small personalized hunting trips for moose, mountain goat, grizzly bear when they open again, black bear, whitetail mule deer in Alberta, the other in BC.
All right. And let's talk about you a little bit. I understand you've been doing this over 30 years. So you clearly, looking at you, this is radio, folks, you started very young. How did you get into this business?
I wrangled in Jasper National Park for Gordon Dorothy Dixon in 85, I think it was, and really enjoyed the summer and moved on and worked in the Wilmore then for Pete McMahon as a cook and a wrangler. And then in 2001, I bought my allocations in Alberta around Hinton area. And then in 2007, my guide territory in BC.
So I've got to ask, because there's just so few female guides and outfitters in the business, how were you received when you first started? Was it hard to get clients? Was it hard to break through stereotypes of what expectations were of women in this industry?
It was really difficult, and there was times when I had clients that said, don't ever tell my wife that I had a female guide.
That's funny. But I'm guessing you have a lot of return clientele, because I know that, you know, we're broadcasting here at the Washington Sportsman Show. You've been coming here for years, and that's because, I assume, you have clients that keep coming back to see you and book trips.
Yes, and I've always said that the ones that come are in touch with their feminine side, because they have mostly daughters.
You're probably right about that. You know, something I'm curious about, being a female outfitter, a female guide, and this is a question I asked last week as well, do you get many female clients because of that?
No, I don't. I don't think that women like to hunt with other women or be guided by other women.
I think you're right, because last week's guest said exactly the same thing, that she also had almost zero female clients. So you're probably right in your assumption there. However,
for any of you women listening out there, if you want to prove us wrong, you'll certainly have some information on how to book a trip in just a couple of minutes. Let's get back to what you offer in terms of your hunts. What are your most popular hunts that you offer?
Probably moose, mountain goat being the next.
When it comes to moose, are we talking Alberta or BC?
British Columbia.
And what does a moose hunt look like? I mean, are you riding on horses? Are you at a lodge or a camp and going out on, you know, ATVs? Are you in a boat? What kind of hunt is this?
I have three different locations. My main camp where I do my moose hunts, more ATV and stand hunting and vehicle. And then I've also got a river hunt and a boat hunt, boat access only, and then ATV to hunt the clear cuts. Most of them are all stand hunting too and calling. They're all during the rut.
Silly question here. In your area, when is the rut? When is prime time to book a moose hunt?
The rut starts about September 20th and runs to probably mid-October, but I've been successful in calling them in November as well, early November.
And how many moose hunts a year do you offer? You said you offer small personalized hunts, so I'm guessing you don't offer a lot of them.
Probably about 5 to 7.
Okay, that's not a lot of them. So when you said small and personalized, what do you mean like that? I mean, I'm assuming we are not talking about a huge hunting camp here where there's like all sorts of different clients. Is it just one client or their group at a time?
No more than 4 people in camp at one time.
That's nice. That is small and that is personalized. Is it a 1-to-1 ratio for guide to client or a 1-to-2?
For moose, most people do 2-on-1 and the goat 1-on-1.
I could see the goat 1-on-1, and that's a hunt I'm guessing you got to be in really good shape for.
It's a positive. It's to be. I had a client last year, though, that he was not in shape, and it's you get cold when you go uphill. That's a bad sign.
That's a really bad sign. I'm guessing that hunt was maybe cut short.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, there's a phrase, folks. It's called being in sheep shape. I think it applies for being in goat shape, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But, you know, goats, they don't get the recognition they should because they're a lot tougher to hunt than sheep.
Really? Tell me more about that.
Well, the steeper country.
I guess, now that you mention it, you probably have a point there. So, okay. And what does that hunt look like? Is it a little bit different than the hunts we just described for moose? I'm guessing it's a lot different.
You mean the goat?
Absolutely.
I don't have any trails, cut trails. It's bushwhacking, and then that's always a lot of fun, crawling over deadfall and the devil's club and the tanglefoot. And
you make this sound so fun, Chris. So, I mean, are you in basically like a spike camp somewhere that you're taking an ATV out to, or what's base camp for a goat hunt look like?
Sometimes it's the side of the mountain, but generally it's as flat a spot as you can and set up a tent and start glassing.
Right. So, folks, this isn't gourmet meals we're talking about for a goat hunt. This is for a serious hunter who's after an animal of a lifetime.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And my goats are, I haven't taken very few under 9.5 inches. So that's, and I've got mostly 10 inches with big bases, like 5 inches plus. So it's great goats.
How many days do you have for moose hunts and goat hunts? In other words, if I'm a client booking a trip, how many days am I going to spend in camp with you or on a hunt with you?
7 to 10, and they're full days. And then I have a goat moose combo, and that's 14 days.
Really? How many of those do you have?
I have maybe 1 or 2 a year.
Okay. Well, folks, this sounds really impressive. And I guess we shouldn't ignore everything else. I mean, the bear and the deer. And, you know, when I think of Canada, I always think of whitetail. I never really think of mule deer. But Alberta's got a pretty robust population, don't they?
They do, yeah. My hunts are all in the bush. And whitetail are all stand hunting. Heated stands. Mule deer, it's all spot and stalk.
And as for the bear hunting, is that over stands too?
No, that's BC, and that's all spot and stalk. And it gets pretty exciting if you can sneak in as close as you possibly can.
Yeah, I would imagine it did. We do need to touch on grizzly bear hunting because in BC, at the moment, that's not legal. And I don't think there's a whole lot of science behind that decision, is there?
No, it was a complete political move. It was a campaign promise, which they then brought forward. But it's not based on science at all.
That's a shame. And unfortunately, we see it in the U.S. too, where a lot of decisions are made about wildlife management that have nothing to do with Sound Wildlife Science. So I'm sorry to hear that. I know you have a lot of clients that are sorry to hear that, because there is a population that is large enough that it needs to be managed. It's a shame people can't take advantage of that opportunity. Speaking of grizzly bears and hunting as a way of managing their populations, it's necessary, and there's some really good reasons for that.
Yes, the grizzly, they can eat one calf moose a day. That's a tremendous amount, because moose only have one or two calves every 2 years. And then there's the wolves. So I've always...
I was going to say, and let's not even get started on the wolves, because we are running out of time. But if you want to book a trip, what is the website, Chris, so folks can find out more?
It's mountainspiritoutfitters.com.
That's mountainspiritoutfitters.com. Mountainspiritoutfitters.com. Whether you want to hunt moose, whether you want a trophy mountain goat, whether you want whitetail or mule deer or elk or black bear, Mountain Spirit Outfitters is the place to check out. Chris has been doing this a long time, and I have a feeling you're going to really have a hunt to remember. Chris, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you very much, John. It was a pleasure.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to ensure North America's outdoor heritage of hunting and fishing through education and work on behalf of wild public lands and waters. Lend your voice to the fight by visiting www.backcountryhunters.org and join the 25,000 men and women who have pledged to defend wildlife and public access. You can also demonstrate your support by signing up for the 2019 North American Rendezvous in Boise, Idaho, May 1st to the 5th.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. Our next guests have something really cool to offer you, especially if you enjoy horseback riding in the wilderness in the great state of Wyoming. Their names are Seth and Alden Ballard. They are the owners of Elk Fork Outfitters. They'll take you out in the fall for hunting. They'll take you out in the summer for fishing, or to learn how to be a great camp cook, or just to relax outside. Seth, Alden, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi there.
Let's talk about the services you offer, and I think we better start off with hunting, because that's what's drawing most of your customers, especially in the fall.
That's correct. We offer elk, mule deer, antelope, bighorn sheep, buffalo hunts.
And I understand that you even have over-the-counter tags for wolf, too.
We do, yeah. It's a non-resident, is around $180.
This is February, and unfortunately, it's too late to get an elk tag for this year if you're a non-resident, but there's always 2020, and it's actually not too early to book for next year, is it?
No, we still have availability for 2020, and yeah, you can still put in this year for mule deer, antelope, and sheep, but you still have till like March 15th or so.
And I understand that in addition to buying these tags, you can always apply for preference points later in the summer, so you got another shot at 2020.
Yeah, between July and October, you can purchase a extra preference point for elk. It's like $52 and add on to your success.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the trips that you're offering. People are going to book a trip with you. They're going to come towards Cody, and obviously it depends on what you're going after, where you're going to be hunting, but we'll start off with the elk. What is your playground, so to speak?
So we have a backcountry wall tent camp. It's in the Washakie Wilderness. It's about a 10-mile horseback ride into the camp. It's a day to pack in, 5 full days of hunting, and a day to pack out. So a 7-day hunt.
So plenty of time to get your elk. What's your success rate?
I'd say 75% is fair to say.
And 75% is a very fair success rate indeed. Is this area known for trophy bulls, or, you know, are we talking raghorns or mainly six-pointers here?
We're always trying to harvest mature six-point bulls. They'd say, you know, 300 to 340-inch elk are kind of our average bulls in there.
Well, that sounds like a great opportunity to me, but I don't want to sell short some of the other opportunities you have. Mule deer, antelope. How popular are those hunts, and what do those hunts look like in terms of a pack trip?
So our mule deer hunts are 5 days, and we do those out of a lodge, and then we truck and trailer and day hunt with horses. Our season's a little later, so we're generally hunting mule deer in migration. So if the weather's right, you're going to see a lot of deer every day. It's pretty fun.
And as for the antelope?
Our antelope hunts are 3 days out of the lodge, and it's also a really good hunt, but it is a little harder to get those tags. You need probably at least 5 preference points.
Well, that's good to know. In addition to antelope and deer and elk, there's a couple of other opportunities that are they're a little different. Now, I understand that you can actually, as a non-resident, buy an over-the-counter wolf tag.
Yeah, you can now. A non-resident wolf tag is around $180, and it's over-the-counter, so any hunting we're doing in the field, we recommend you have that in your pocket in case the opportunity presents.
I've got to ask. I've talked to some people who've gone after wolves before. I've talked to folks from Idaho Fish and Game. They are not an easy animal to hunt. Pardon the pun, but do your clients have a legitimate shot at bringing home a wolf pelt?
Yeah, we see them off and on, so when we're elk hunting especially, they're in the country, and nothing guaranteed, but if we come across them, you might as well have a tag.
Absolutely. Speaking of nothing guaranteed, I understand there's a brand new buffalo hunt in your area, only one tag available, but for the lucky person who draws it, are you going to take them bison hunting?
We absolutely will. We actually see buffalo quite often riding into our elk camp, and it'd be a pretty dang good hunt.
It would be an experience of a lifetime. So lots of opportunity for big game here. Here's the next question, though. Do you have any openings for this fall?
We do right now. It's hard to say. We've got to wait till the draws come out, how many people are going to book. You know, a lot of people putting in for tags. So I'd say right now, if you want to reserve a spot, give us a call.
So here's the next question. It's a chicken and egg question. Do you put in for the tag first and then call, or do you call first and put in for the tag and hope you get the tag?
Put in for the tag and then get the tag and then call us.
We are talking to the owners of Elk Fork Outfitters out of Cody, Wyoming, Seth and Alden Ballard. We just talked to Seth about the hunting. Alden, we're going to talk to you about some of the summer pack trips that you offer.
Summer pack trips are a great way to get in the backcountry and either relax or go fishing, hiking. We take you out day riding if you want to do that, and they're super fun. We recommend a 4-day trip at a minimum, just so you have plenty of time to get settled into camp and really experience all that it has to offer. We've had a lot of people who book 4-day trips and say, oh man, I had thought about booking a 3-day trip. I'm so glad I booked 4 days, because that way you get to have 2 whole days in camp rather than riding in on your first day, 1 day in camp and riding back out on a 3-day trip. So 4-day minimum is what we recommend, and we go longer than that. Just depends on what you want to do. Those are customizable.
I mean, if relaxing is the name of the game, and when it comes to summer and pack trips, relaxing is the name of my game, I would wholeheartedly agree with at least 4 days. A question that always comes up, I know the answer, but some of our listeners don't, is riding experience required?
It is not. We have great horses and mules that are very gentle. They have a lot of riders that have never been on a horse before, and we'll teach you the basics so that you feel comfortable and safe to get down the trail, and they'll take care of you.
Well, let's talk about some of the trips. You mentioned fishing, and, you know, this being a fishing hunting show, that's going to appeal to a lot of our listeners. What are you targeting and where? Are we talking trout in lakes or trout in rivers? We'll hand this one back to you, Seth.
It's all stream fishing. We don't have any high country lakes around us, and it's rainbow and cutthroat and brook trout.
I love brookies. I know there's fish biologists listening today who don't love brook trout in the West because they're not native, but they're a spunky fish. They're colorful. They're fun to catch. How big are these trout in the streams and rivers you're fishing?
Last summer, you know, we were catching 20-inch rainbows, 18 to 20-inch rainbows. Cuts are, you know, 12, 14 inches. There's plenty of fish. They may not be the biggest ones every day, but you're going to catch them all day.
I will take 12 to 14-inch cutthroat all day, all week long. You give me a 20-inch rainbow, you just made my entire pack trip. So that sounds like a ton of fun to me. I noticed you didn't mention the brookies. Are they really small?
Yeah, the brookies are small, but they taste good.
Excellent answer. Speaking of tasting good, you are offering some theme trips this summer. And Alden, one of those has to do with outdoors cooking.
It does. We did this last year, too, and it was really fun. It's a 5-day pack trip. It's August 2nd through 6th. We'll take just 6 people on it. And it's a camp cooking trip. So it's a chance to come into the camp kitchen, learn how to make beautiful, delicious food with really simple
equipment and utensils. You know, we don't have any electricity up there. It's all over the fire, or, you know, we have a propane blaster. So we do cooking in a wood-fired oven, grilling over the fire, Dutch oven cooking. We try to plan a menu that covers all different aspects, you know, meats that you cook fast, meats that you cook slow, delicious appetizers and desserts, and, you know, good baked goods and things like that.
Well, we got a flock of geese flying over us that's honking in approval. I think they like the idea too, as long as they're not on the menu. Another question. Obviously, this is going to be interesting for people who want to learn how to be a better camp cook. Any sort of experience required, or is this for the beginner?
It's for anybody who's curious. My sister and I both have camped cook for about a dozen years now, and we get a lot of people who say, oh man, I'd love to learn how to do that, or I just think it'd be fun to watch, or, you know, I'd like to get a job, but I don't even know where to start. So anybody who has interest, if you just want to come and hang out and kind of see how it's done, that's great. If you want to be hands-on and be in there building the fires and helping with the cooking, that's great too, but you don't have to have any experience.
Sounds like the trip for me, especially the way I cook. I could learn a lot and probably get a lot out of it. But folks, whether you want to learn about camp cooking, whether you want to go fishing, whether you just want to relax for a few days in the wilderness, or whether you want to book the hunt of a lifetime, Elk Fork Outfitters has got it for you. The website to go to is elkforkoutfitters.net. That's elkforkoutfitters.net. As you heard, you're going to want to call sooner than later because they're in high demand, but they are going to offer you some trips that I think you're going to remember the rest of your life. Seth Alden, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Hello, I'm Mark Hempstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. Shiloh is proud to be celebrating over 40 years of providing you, our valued Shiloh customers, with Shiloh's sincere friendliness, efficient customer service, and clean, comfortable, attractive, non-smoking rooms and suites, all at an affordable price. Shiloh also offers many free amenities like free Wi-Fi and free continental breakfast or hot, full, delicious breakfast at most Shiloh Inns, as well as pools, spas, steam, sauna rooms, exercise fitness facilities, and business centers. And even the kids stay free. And for you dog lovers, Shiloh is very dog friendly. So ask your best friend where he or she wants to stay. Next time you're traveling for business or pleasure, we think you'll get a paws up for Shiloh Inns. For reservations, call 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family owned and proud of it.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
The two biggest fishing and hunting shows in the Northwest are taking place courtesy of O'Loughlin Trade Shows. The Washington Sportsman Show is happening January 23rd through the 27th at the Fairgrounds in Puyallup, and you won't want to miss the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show either at the Expo Center in Portland, February 6th through the 10th. There will be hundreds of exhibitors and up to 100,000 attendees, along with the seminars and demos from experts there, and you'll find incredible deals to only at these shows. It's the Washington Sportsman Show in Puyallup, January 23rd through the 27th, and the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show in Portland, February 6th through the 10th. They're the biggest and best shows around. We'll see you there. Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. We've got some outdoors news for you. We'll start off in Minnesota, where the Brainerd JCs had their annual single-day ice fishing tournament at Gull Lake at the end of January. And I've got to tell you, organizers, they were worried that polar vortex barreling in was going to keep the crowds away from this event, which promises a prize payout worth $150,000. Never fear, though. We're talking ice anglers here. And according to the Star Tribune, some 10,000 men, women, and children braved the elements to take part in the noon to 3 p.m. ice fishing derby. The big winner, Gary Krieger, who hauled a 5.2-pound northern pike out of the ice. That medium-sized pike was his ticket to a brand-new pickup truck. Daryl Smith was another happy angler. His walleye, weighing just under 3 pounds, gave him the keys to a brand-new ATV. If you want to find out more about the Brainerd JC's ice fishing extravaganza and make plans to attend next year, go to icefishing.org. In other news, you've heard of deer and elk dying from harsh winter conditions or by being hit by cars and trucks. But have you ever heard of whole herds being decimated by trains? It happened January 25th near Soda Springs, Idaho. A train hit and killed 31 elk that were standing on the tracks in one fell swoop. Believe it or not, this is not unheard of. A similar incident happened a couple of years ago in Montana. I guess those elk just don't listen to those loud blowing horns from those freight trains. The one good piece of news from this story: 10 of the animals were salvageable and the meat distributed to local residents who will enjoy some rail-killed elk roasts in the days ahead. All right, let's get back to sportsman shows and a really cool product I found at one.
We've got a product review for you next on America Outdoors Radio, and it involves a backpack and problems that you may have with your packs, whether you're a hiker or a hunter or a fisherman or a photographer. With us here to tell us about a pack that's going to solve some of your problems and make your outdoors experiences a lot easier and more efficient is Kathy Vierthaler. She is one of the co-owners of a pack company called Paxis. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Glad to be with you.
So, Kathy, I'm wearing one of these packs now, and number one, very comfortable. I love the straps. I love just the design of the pack itself. I mean, this is something I would enjoy wearing whether I'm hiking to an alpine lake or, you know, fishing my way along a stream where I'm going to be hiking a couple miles, or maybe just going on a trip where I'm doing some outdoors photography or hiking to wherever I'm going, the top of a mountain. But you incorporate some really, really innovative features into this, the most important being the one I'm going to ask you about right now, something that swings out at the bottom of the pack.
Yes, our pack has a feature where the bottom third of the pack swings around to the front on our patented hinge system.
And folks, this is really something else, because let's face it, how many times have you been hiking up a trail, going up a switchback, and you get to that switchback and you look out over the valley or you look out and there's this beautiful vista you want to take a picture of, but you don't want to go to the hassle of taking your backpack off, leaning it up against a rock or a stump, digging it for the camera, taking the picture, putting it back, cinching the backpack up, so you just pass it up. Same thing with maybe you're going along an alpine lake or a stream. There's a place where you just want to make one or two quick casts, and you might have your rod in hand, but you want a certain fly, you want a certain lure, and it's the same thing. You'd have to take the pack off and go through that whole hassle, so you just pass it up. This, with the swing-out system, that takes care of everything, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's the size of a small tackle box, so you can stock it with your leader, your flies, any little small tools that you might need as you're working, as you're fishing.
Oh, and you can certainly put a camera in there, too. Everything from a compact camera all the way up to a DSLR that a professional is going to use.
Yes, the photographers love this because you can carry a couple of lenses and do the quick change out without digging through your pack.
And folks, this is really slick, and I really like the pack. I'm actually wearing one of these packs as we're talking through this interview here. The straps are good, feels very durable, and as for that swing out, you simply reach next to your hip, you pull a lever, it swings right out, you unzip it, and what I like is the flap, it doesn't fold towards you where it's going to be a hassle and come back on you, it folds out. So again, if you have fishing tackle in there, if you have a camera, it's readily accessible, and when you're done doing what you need to do, you just zip it up, and you swing it right back, you lock it in with your hand, it locks right in, no problem, and you're back on the trail again. I mean, this is a really, really interesting invention. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, my husband and I are avid day hikers, and we both had the complaint that we had to take our pack off to get to anything that we needed, our water, our gloves, sunglasses. And my husband, being a ingenious kind of guy, he went back to his shop and made our first prototype, and we kind of built on that.
The swing-out system that you have on this pack, is this patented, or are people going to be copying this pretty soon from other companies?
We're fully patented for the pack, and we also have a version for a wheelchair, and we're working on one for a boat seat. So those are all patented, and we're hoping to have those on the market in the next year to 18 months.
If people want to buy one of these packs, I mean, this is new, where do they find them? I'm guessing you're not in a whole lot of retail stores yet.
Yeah, we are really new, so it would be harder to find us in a retail store in your area, but we are online, paxispax.com. It's paxispax.com. We ship free to the U.S. and for a whatever the shipping cost is to the rest of the world, though we are building our clientele worldwide.
All right. Another thing about these packs, if you are a fly angler or, for that matter, a spin angler, they actually have a nice little pocket, for lack of a better word, that you can actually slide your rod case into. So that's very handy. Or if you're a photographer, your tripod will go right in there too. So again, this is really the perfect pack. Whether you're a hiker or a photographer or an angler, I see this being useful for hunters too in a lot of different situations. Instead of, you know, you can have your ammo, you can have a magazine, you can have your binoculars that are in that little slide out pack. I mean, this is really slick. I love the inventiveness of it. I see a lot of people are going to be using this in the future. Of that, I have no doubt. So the website one more time so folks can find out more about it and order one.
PAXISPAX, PAXISPAX.com.
PAXISPAX, check them out, folks. They're like no other pack you've ever seen. And if you're like me, you're going to want one for the next time you hit the trail. Kathy, thanks for telling us about this today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, John.
Like I said, there's all sorts of things you can find at sportsman shows, and continuing with specialty sportsman shows coming at you the next couple of weeks, the Sheep Show, put on by the Wild Sheep Foundation, is taking place this weekend through Sunday in Reno, Nevada, and you can buy tickets at the door for only $20 that will allow you to check out the 400 exhibitors at the convention center, and those exhibitors are all about wild sheep conservation and hunting. The Midwest's biggest and best show about muskie fishing is coming to the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin next weekend. It's the Muskie Expo. It's happening at the Washington County Fair Park next Friday the 15th through Sunday the 17th. And if you want to increase your chances of hooking into one of these hard-to-catch trophies, this is the show for you. And don't forget the Saltwater Sportsman Show. That's in Salem, Oregon, February 23rd to the 24th at the State Fairgrounds. If you fish the saltwater off the Oregon, Washington, or Northern California coast for tuna, halibut, salmon, or bottom fish, this will be the show to attend. All sorts of seminars about
those kinds of fishing, staying safe on the water, canning your catch, and more. And there's all sorts of vendors there, too. It's the Saltwater Sportsman Show. Find out more at saltwatersportsmanshow.com. If you find yourself online Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time, tune into our show at talkamericaradio.us. They carry us as part of their conservative talk lineup every weekend. And you can also hear this show on demand as a podcast anytime you want. Just look for America Outdoors Radio on Stitcher, Podbean, or YouTube and subscribe to the channel of your choice. That's it for now, because I've got to get back to my booth at the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show at the Expo Center in Portland. I'll be there through Sunday, along with a whole bunch of other exhibitors, dozens of big attractions, great retail deals, and more. I hope you'll drop by our booth to chat, and don't forget to sign up to win the $100 gift certificate we're giving away at the end of this event from Max Lures, and the bonus gift we're giving away too, a Striker backcountry stove from our friends at Camp Chef. I do hope that you are blessed in the days ahead. I also hope that as winter slowly starts to transition to spring, that you will get some time to get outside and maybe do some fishing, maybe do some hunting, or if nothing else, get to one of those sportsman shows going on. Remember, it's your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.